The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I love baptisms, and I'm always telling families, and I've said it, but it bears repeating, that if a kid is wiggly or kind of jabbering or cries, that's what kids do. I'm not bothered by it at all. In fact, I think it is remarkable at times to hear the sound of baptism, which sometimes sounds like the little tip-tap of a toddler moving all around. This is especially meaningful. Amy and Damien have been waiting for the baptisms of their four youngest kids. Oh, look, that's a great sermon illustration. Thank you. He made a break for it, but he got caught. They've been waiting for this font, this beautiful way that for now, for generations, people will come into the baptized life of Christ. It's wonderful. So I always rehearse with the parents and godparents ahead of time the parts that they say, just them, the questions they answer. Usually it's a couple of godparents and the parents, so there's just a few of them. Today we have lots of voices. They're going to be great. And what they do is present the kids, and then they will make promises to help the children grow up in the Christian faith and life. And then there are six questions. Now, they just say the answers to them, and then all of us will renew our baptismal covenant. And I'm not going to ask you to do it at the time, but today we're talking about these questions and why we should. I didn't pay them. It just happened. He's very happy too, so that's good. So these questions, and you'll find them in your bulletin on page 5. And I encourage you, usually I say put it away, but take out your bulletin, look at page 5, and let's look at these questions. There are 6 renunciations of evil and 3 acceptances of Christ. Now, this is one of the oldest of forms in church worship that we have. At least within a couple of generations of Jesus, they would have been using a form, maybe not quite these words, but you would have to do 3 renunciations and 3 acceptances. Part of that is because back then, there were no documents that you got notarized and got taken down to the courthouse and put in public record. Back then, the way you made any promise was to do it 3 times. Even in the Bible, in the Law of Moses, as it's known, to divorce your wife, you had to say, I divorce her 3 times. Wanted to make sure it was going on. It was especially important in the early church when you could be killed for being a Christian with the persecutions going on. So we have retained that. We have recaptured that in... Did my mic go? Oh, it's good. We have recaptured that in our prayer book that we use now. And we do have the same answer. 3, I renounce them, and 3, I do. But each question is different. So we're going to look at them. So, first that we ask, the celebrant, I ask, and the parents and godparents answer, do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? So they answer together, I renounce them. And we did a rehearsal, and they're great, you're going to see. But I've often had people, when I say, do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? They say, I renounce them. And I'm sorry. You need to be a lot louder. You want to make Satan hear you. So always full voice. I renounce them. And frankly, that makes the answer our answer and not something just read on paper. So that's Satan, that kind of spiritual warfare, the kind that St. Michael waged against Satan and his angels and defeated them and cast them out of heaven. This is that kind of evil which we can't put a name to, but is there. We know it. So then we do you renounce the evil powers of this world, which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? Now we've gone from up here, kind of the big picture of evil, of Satan. And now it's right here. Because we're not just renouncing Satan. I mean, I think every one of us doesn't have a question about renouncing Satan. I hope none of us question it. But here, this is harder. Do you renounce the evil powers of this world, which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? What are the evil powers of this world? Thank you, Father Todd. Greed. The feeling that if we have enough money, enough things, enough possessions, then we'll be good. Trusting in those instead of God. That's one. Another one. War. When human beings wage war and violence against one another. But again, we're all sitting here peacefully. We're not going out and waging war. But we do go out there and be tempted by the sinful desires, the evil powers of the world, which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God. So now we've got this. We have the world, the kind of known and unconscious things that we do because we're trusting in the world instead of God. So we got one more, renounce them. Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? That's here. The sinful desires. Now, that doesn't mean desires like you think. It's just all the things that were within us that take us away from who God intended us to be. There's a lot in there. And notice it doesn't say, if you have sinful desires that draw you from the love of God, do you renounce them? Because whether the ones we know that are conscious that we realize are pulling us away from God, or things we are not really aware, all of us have them. Sinful desires is just the whole part of us that wants to do what we want to do, the part of us that prays and tells God what God wants, who tries to fashion God in our own image, who think of ourselves first. When you look at today's parable, this incredibly important parable from the Gospel of Matthew, a wonderful way to end the church year. Because if anything you take away from Matthew's gospel, and frankly, pretty much from any gospel, it's that how do we renounce these things? It also ties into our acceptances. So here again, we have three questions. Same answer, I do. And frankly, if it's not as loud as the I renounce them, that says something. So we're just as full voice. Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? I do. And pretty much any Christian community, that's it, whether it's evangelical, non-denominational, any mainline denomination, Roman Catholics, Orthodox, this is kind of the basic question. Do you turn to Jesus and accept him as your Savior? You say, I do. Now, if that's where we stopped, I mean, that just is like, okay, got my baptism, everything's taken care of, that's it. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for being my Savior. So look at the next one. Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love? That sounds beautiful. But when you think about it, that's a pretty big ask. Believing in Jesus is one thing. Following Jesus, putting our whole trust in him, not in ourselves, not in the things we have, not in the things we do, that we put our whole trust in his grace and love. So often we think of Jesus' love the way, unfortunately, a lot of us have experienced love on a human scale. We think it's conditional. Put your whole trust in his grace and love is not if Jesus loves you. Jesus does. It's not if you have grace. You have grace. This is, however, how you actively bring that into your life. And that's transformation, and it's not always easy. It's something that the kids may not understand today, but they will experience as they grow up. And then finally, do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord? I do. Now, standing here accepting Jesus as our Savior, you know, that's just kind of right here, and we've done it. Check mark. You know, putting our whole trust in his grace and love. It's like, okay, when I'm praying, I'll think about how I have Jesus' grace and love. But here, do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord? First of all, human beings, we do not like to obey. We do, because it's expected of us. We follow traffic laws. You know, the kids need to obey those who care for them. But obey is not a word that really sits well with us. And we promise to follow Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean follow Jesus into heaven at the ascension. It means taking up your cross and following Jesus first to the cross. Now, again, this is hard. Just because it's six questions with six set answers, if you really, really engage with it, man, this is something you could spend your whole life doing. So I'm going to make it simpler for you. Well, actually, Jesus in Matthew 25. It's like, how do you follow? How do you obey him? How do you know? How do you know if you're putting your full trust in his grace and love? How do you know that you have set aside the sinful desires that draw us from the love of God? And Jesus said, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Now, in this parable, it's, okay, when did we do it? I think any of us, if Jesus appeared right now and any of those things were true, we would definitely do it. But Jesus said, no. Do it out there with others, the least of these. Put aside the gnashing of teeth and the condemnation and darkness versus the light and salvation. Jesus said, I know this is hard. Here's how you know. Was there someone who was hungry and you could do something about it and you didn't? Or thirsty and you didn't? Did you know someone who had no clothes, maybe no clean clothes? Did you help them? When did you welcome a stranger? Even here in church. When did you care for someone who was sick or hurting? Doesn't mean you had to, you know, patch them up like a doctor or a nurse. It means reaching out to those who are suffering in spirit. Being there for people in need, even if you don't know them. And did you visit those who are imprisoned? which frankly could be a prison. You know, that's a place that needs it. But what about other prisons? The prison of addiction, the prison of mental health issues where there is a society that does not have a safety net or help. People who are caught in the cycle of homelessness. We'll answer these questions. The parents and godparents will answer them. But frankly, right now, I think we all need to. What if, instead of just at the baptismal covenant, we repeated this and renewed it every time we had a baptism? What if in our prayers, we periodically went back to it? It's transformational. So I would like you to take your bulletin, page 5. I'll ask the questions. I'm the celebrant. You will be the presenters in this case, but here in our sermon, we will ask these questions and answer them. And like the godparents, I mean, when you say renounce them, mean it. When you say, I do accept Jesus as my Savior, I put my whole trust in his grace and love, I promise to follow and obey him. When you say, I do, that's not a simple question, it is a declaration. Ready? Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God?
I renounce them.
Very good. Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God?
I renounce them.
Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior?
I do.
Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love?
I do.
Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord?
I do.
May we do these things which please God and transform our lives. Amen.